as you'd probably gather over the last few weeks, we want to be a family or reflect something of the family of God. And that's why we've got married couples, singles, got parents, got couples without and with still waiting children. And so something of that reflects heaven. How it will exactly look like, we're not sure in heaven. We know we will be like Jesus, Bible says, but He is our Father and He has a family. And that family is His desire to, He wants us with Him. He speaks of Jesus being the firstborn among many, of whom we are, those born of God. And to that end, we sometimes in the church world, we get this kind of dichotomy where it's the adults, they're the true Christians, and then the children, when later on, they become part of God's family. But that's not our heart. And we've got Kim, Dion, and Jenny with us just to share on that. I think, Dion, you're going to share. And just share our heart as Josh, Jen, for the kids. And so I'm going to hand over to you, and then I'll jump on afterwards.
Goeiemôre allemaal. Gaan goed met julle? Het is baie omwindend om hier te wees, regtig. My Afrikaans is all right. Moet ek aangaan? Okay. Now it is very, very exciting for us to be here. Just not only in our capacity as overseeing Kim and I, and then together with Jenny overseeing the children's work across all the congregations, but whenever we see something planted in God in an area, no, God's got a plan. God's got something in store. Something's about to unfold in Paul. And so we are really, really excited. We are praying for this congregation on Thursday as a team with the next generation, with the children's work. And in that, there's something prophetic that we felt. It was geared towards the children's ministry, but I do feel that it is for this congregation. So Kim's just got something here, so she gets ready there. Yeah, you ready?
So as we were praying for you as a congregation, God brought to mind the Talm Monument. And I felt like I needed to bring it to you as a picture of a constant reminder of why you have been established here, and on who you should be and established and remain established in. And one of the things that struck me is that the Tal Monument is built on a mountain. And I felt so strongly that God was saying that a mountain is immovable, but the rock represents Jesus. And that as you remain rooted in Him on that rock, immovable, there's something of a monument to a culture that will be established here. And that's the culture of Christianity, the culture of family, the culture of the kingdom. And I looked a little bit into the history of the Tal Monument. And one of the things that struck me, that it was the symbolism is revolving around a lot around heritage, where the Afrikaner nation came from. And I felt God remind me and you guys to always remember whose you are, where you come from. And there are three columns there that represent the background, the cultural heritage, the European heritages. And there were many influences, but there were three columns chosen because the number three is indivisible. And I felt God saying, I need you to be established in the truth of the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the work of all three being evident in the life of this church. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, a family, one. And then I noticed that there was an influence of many cultures, including black culture, symbolized in that monument. And I felt God saying that He would use you to break open something in this area, to trailblaze an inclusivity of all people, of all cultures, of all tribes and of all tongues. And that you would be all people, be somebody to all people, that people would find family here. And then the main pillar, which represents the Afrikaans culture, is surrounded by a pool of water. And the symbolism of that was the water was to indicate increase and sustenance. And I really felt God saying that as a people, remain rooted in the well of living water. That as you remain rooted in the well of living water, He will not only give you increase, but you will be sustained. And so I just felt that as you go and drive past that monument, that it would be a constant reminder to you, not initially of Afrikaner culture, but of kingdom culture. That the symbolism of that would find resonance within your spirits to be constantly reminded of why God has established you here to trailblaze, to break open, to bring something new, and to reflect the family of God.
So what do you see? What do you see? Maybe just close your eyes in the light of that prophetic word just for 15 seconds and just allow the Holy Spirit to allow you to see what He sees. May there be a message that rings out, God, from this congregation in Paul. The beautiful message of the gospel, changing lives, changing cultures, changing cities, changing communities. Thank you, God. Thank you that there are going to be salvations. There are going to be transformed lives, transformed families as a result of this church because of the foundation that is built on. I speak that now over this congregation. Amen. So God gave me, at the end of last year, I just want to lay this, I don't want to take up too much time, but God spoke to me about, with regard to the children's ministry, last year I heard a little bit of a testimony of someone whose child as a teenager was no longer going to church. They were in church their whole lives, brought them up in church, but they never, the children as teenagers left the church, and it was very hard for the parents to go through that. And that parent was asked, why is that so? Why do you think? Where did you make the mistake? And he said, perhaps we focus too much on raising our children in church and not in Christ. And then God gave me the scripture at the start of this year, which I want to build on with regard to the children's church, was 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Christ Jesus. And so we began to see what that means for our children's ministry in a new way. The curriculum is a very gospel-centered, Jesus-centered curriculum, so it's not about the curriculum, it's about how we put into the children the foundation of Jesus. And so what I'm wanting us together, all of us, to close our eyes and see, and I want you to just to come into my world and leading this ministry and see what I see. See what I see. What if? What would Josh Jen look like? What would Paul look like if every child that comes in to this church, every child, gets saved, encounters Jesus, baptized and filled and overflowing with the Holy Spirit? What if? What do you see? And that's what I see. I see every child encountering the Jesus that we encounter, the same Jesus, being saved by the same blood that saved us, saves it comes and washes them clean. And the same Holy Spirit that baptizes us and fills us lives in in and through them. They can be baptized, overflowing with the Spirit as well. And so I want us to see that when the children come into this congregation, that they're part of us. They're our children. And they have a great inheritance together with us. There's something that God wants to do through us as families, that God wants to use them to be testimonies, them to be light in this world. So there's an inclusiveness that we're wanting us to bring the children in, to be part of the communities, not just with an iPad in the other room. Bring them in. Bring them in to worship, to pray, maybe in little small snippets, however you want to do it. But there's this inclusiveness of bringing your children. And we as a body embrace all the children as our children. I know there's a primary responsibility on blood parents, but in a way, we are older brothers and sisters. We are aunts and uncles. We are grannies, and I'm a granddad, and Kim's a grandma, and we just love being it. And that's what we need to be in the Lord as well. People that have a concern and love for our children to see them encountering Jesus. Up to 25% of Josh Jen is under the age of 18. And we need to do the best we can to found the children in Jesus, to ask the Lord to fill them with the Holy Spirit. That what I see is a generation now impacting the church now. Why not kids prophesying up front? Why not kids praying for healing for the adults? Why not kids going to hospitals and being part of ministries? Why not? Why not? Let's begin to trust God and see God do something incredible to our children's ministry. And yeah, I'm going to drop it. You are the first congregation to hear. We are going through a name change as a result. Okay? The name has been Next Gen for over 10 years, or long, 15 years. And we felt the name signified something of a separation to the next generation. And I felt God say, let's freshen up everything and let's be prophetic in who we are. They are Josh Jen kids. And that's who we're going to call them from now onwards. They are Josh Jen kids. So I'm excited to see what God's going to do through this church, through the kids, through what you do in ministries and including them. And we are so privileged to be part of this. We are so privileged to be part of this. And thank you. The whitest harvest is already here. Kids respond easily to the gospel, easily to encountering Jesus. They haven't got all the stuff. Is this what Jesus, you know, the Holy Spirit? We just need to expose them to the gospel, expose them to encountering Jesus, expose them to Jesus and the Holy Spirit in the Word, and see what God can do. Amen. Bless you guys. Wonderful to be here.
Thanks, Dion. Paul, you want to just quickly come to the front here? In line of that, I don't know how many of you've met Paul, but this is Paul Nell, and he is our intern for the year, TMT intern. So he is going to be dedicated to youth ministry, and we are actually at this moment sitting around looking at what's the best ways getting into the schools, working with the kids, etc. So like we said, he's a student, so he's going to stay with some of us. If you've got a house during the year, we've got him like at monthly intervals at this stage. So if you at some stage want to support that, say, hey, man, come stay with us. Because for Paul, part of his training is obviously he's now actively being involved in youth ministry, but also being included in our midst and being part of our lives and seeing, you know, when you're married and you've got kids, how does Christian life look like then? It's amazing when you see how little some of the young adults get exposure to just normal family life. Something that Sean was speaking about, it's common. Our children are being raised in single-parent homes, and I know some of you have been touched by that, are being raised in dysfunctional homes. And so there's a whole generation that doesn't know God's heart through example for family. And so part of the church's mandate, part of the church's role is to actually help that. And we can't, I know some of us, there's some things that you can't help. some sins and stuff that happen. But to the best of what we can come alongside one another and be a support. And I think how much better when we can have young people in our homes and in some way touch them, some way show them something of a godly family so that they can go and reproduce that. And so we change the cycle in that way. So it's great to have you with us, Paul. Bless you. Oh, I was saying something. Excuse you, my imp is not like me, so. Sorry, now is the pulpit ook nie lang genoeg. There are sleutels wat verlore is. Enig iemand wat sleutels verlore het, daar by Dirk daar achter. As hy. Right, let's see. Okay. If you're here for the first time this morning, our journey thus far, we started meeting together the 27th of October last year. And we are in the process of basically planting a new church. And next week, the 2nd of February, is our official launch, if you will. So we are going to have, this is going to be kind of the moment where we say, okay, yeah, we are, it's being planted. We're going to have some of our other leaders come join us, come celebrate with us. We're going to have some other people from the other Joshing congregation. So it's going to be fairly kind of, there's going to be definitely more people because of some other family members. But then also, this Saturday coming, and you can put that slide up. Those of you who haven't seen, we are going to join the park run here in Paul, all right? So one of the ways that we want to, why God is planting us here, is so that we can be part of the community. Jesus is looking out over Paul, and he is seeing some people don't know him yet. Some people have walked away from him. And so in some ways, he is longing for people to be part of his family. He was the firstborn, but he wants many to join him with the Father. And so our role is actually to get into this community and to shine our light. To shine not our personal light, but the light of Jesus. And so we want to use opportunities like this where the community is already gathering. I heard last week there was about 800 people at the park run. So 800 people, some know Jesus, some don't know Jesus, where we can come close to and we can just be who we are. Maybe there's somebody that Jesus links you with, you start chatting with, and they are looking for something in God. God has already been speaking to them. It's the weirdest stuff that happens when God started working. I mean, many of you have been born again by, you had a dream in the week, and all of a sudden, you had a chat with a colleague, and it's like God's building, and he's drawing you close until that point where you got born again. So the park run is one of those stepping stones or one of those blocks in the process of somebody coming to Jesus. And so what we're going to do is we're going to join the park run. What you need to do, if you are not a park runner, you can say, I can be a park walker. That's the first one. And then apparently you just need to register online through the communities. We sent out those links, but just go look, just put up your name. It's just for the people that if something happens, you cut your toe or you know something weird happens that's uncommon, that they at least have somebody that they can phone to help, etc. So that's the 1st of February. The morning, it starts at 8. We're going to be there from 7 o'clock. All right, so we want to ask you to come join us 7. We're going to have a little gazebo and some banners. And then we've got caps. If you can put the other one on. So this cap, it's actually a little bit, it sits a little bit fuller on the head. I think it's just a picture there now. But so that's the cap that we've ordered. We've just kind of went out and ordered just over 150 or so. But it's 50 rand a cap. And we want to use that just as it's kind of to distinguish us and that people know at least where you're from, because we're going to hand out water sachets as well to those that really ran. At the end, water sachets and a little pamphlet that says, hey, we're starting off tomorrow. Come and join us. All right, so that's the way that we're going to bring some awareness. You can see there reference. You just put the cap and then your name. With It's 50 rand a cap. If you want to sponsor cap, also let us know. You can just speak to, where's Bernadette? Ah, Bernadette's there at the back. If you don't have Bernadette, and she'll then just notify us on that. Got everything. All right. So Saturday morning, as we get together, invite your friends. Say, come join us. Many New Year's resolutions were made New Year. Many New Year's resolutions were left last week or the week before. Say, hey, man, come join us. It's just going to be a fun time together. And then invite your friends. We are, how many of you, maybe just by show of hands, if you are born again and you're a believer in Jesus, how many of you got to that place through a friend, family member, or somebody inviting you to an event or a church or that? How many of you got through that? Most of us got born again through that way. Not everyone. A few of you got born again through, you know, you were smoking some dacha or so and had a, or you had a nightmare or a angelic dream, or you just had a river. You know, some of us have the, but most of us come to know Jesus through some form of invitation. So I want to ask you, the elders and the leaders, they're not the only missionaries. We are all the missionaries here in Paul. Even though you've stayed here for how many years? Some of you are old paralita. You were in Chum or Boys Eye, and you've, it's just the heritage goes deep. But there where you have a connection and you know some friends, family members that they either don't know Jesus or they're not part of a church and they're looking. Just say, hey man, come join. You don't have to come. Just come this Sunday. Give them one. Just give God one chance. And it might be that morning. It might be that moment that that God has been building through a series of fortunate events. He's been building a way to a moment of salvation and rebirth. Amen? All right, so we're going to pray just afterwards. We're going to pray about that again. But I have a short word that I just want to share in light of all of this. In light of what God has done this morning, I think, I've got a little pointer thing to help me. But God has definitely been speaking this morning, if you did not hear it that clearly, about His Father heart, about a sense of belonging, about, you know, that He's reaching across a generation, and He wants to reach everyone. And so this morning, I want to speak about Jesus, Seeker and Savior. Many of you have heard Jesus, He's our Lord and Savior. And there are different names of God, not because He's different gods, but to describe or to help us understand His character. So in the Old Testament, you'd see He's God our healer, or God our leader, God the one who provides. And He gives He describes these names to Himself so that we can understand who He is. I mean, for God who's infinitely big, and I mean, He's just, our minds cannot comprehend God. But He gives us certain words, certain descriptions to in some way find some handle that we can know Him. The beautiful thing is that He gives us His Spirit so that we can know Him. And sometimes, some of you have sat and you've prayed or you've been quiet with God and you want to explain God, but you can't. But you know in your heart that you've seen something, you know something, but it's beyond words. And then we find words where God gives us that we can better describe Him. And in the beginning of the year, I started with the story of Zacchaeus in Luke 19. How many of you remember that? Where we spoke about the seekers, those who seek and those who are part of the crowd. And a seeker always finds an obstacle first. We are in the process of moving. Hallelujah. We got a house. And the house is now, our current house there in Melkbos, it's full of boxes and so forth. And I jokingly say, all the stuff that I want to throw away belongs to Ina. And all the stuff that she wants to throw away belongs to me. So we're moving with everything. But we've had some help. A friend came and helped us pack away and so forth. And now I'm looking for stuff. But I don't know in which box it is, because there's been other hands in the packing as well. And you find that, you know, and there are some stuff that I know it got lost in the first move. But I thought somewhere I'll get it. So now I'm going through everything as we're packing up, hopefully to find it. And I'm like, oh man, it's not here, it's not here. So there's some stuff that we, as we look, you've got to lift up and search around and filter through. And there's an aspect of that where Jesus comes, and that we need to know it. Part of His character, part of how He reveals Himself, is one seeking to save. The scripture that we read out of Luke 19 was that Jesus says, I have come to seek and save the lost. We focus that preach on us being seekers and saviors. But how many of you, when you think of God, think of one searching? Think of one looking? There's a few scriptures in the Bible that says that God looks over the world and is looking for somebody to stand in the gap. He's searching. The words that is used there is one searching for it. There's another scripture is He searches our hearts. And so God is oftentimes, although He knows everything, the picture with which He reveals Himself is one searching to find. And if God is searching with intent, He will find. He's the one that said, seek, keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock, and door will be open. Ask, you will receive. And so we've got to see God and Jesus as He reveals the Father as one seeking to save. You ever thought of why Jesus came to the earth? This is not an exhaustive list. This morning we sang about, you know, we deserve hell actually because of our sin and separation. But He gives us mercy. And so Jesus came to forgive. But there's a few scriptures that I just want to highlight here this morning. In Luke 4 verse 43 it says, "But He said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." So when Jesus came for this purpose, Jesus, why did you come? I must speak about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, die koninkryk van God, is sy heerskappy. Dis waar sy wil geskied. It is where we receive His will and His word and we submit to it and it gets done. It is His rule that is established. And so in some houses, some families, as we spoke this morning, there's no kingdom of God. The kids are off the rockers. They are like little devils actually. And you get into their house and you think, where is the Lord? We have certain sayings even in Afrikaans where we say, "This God's onmoontlik." I mean, nothing is impossible for God, but we say, "Daai kind, hy is God's onmoontlik." And it sounds almost crass, and I hope I'm not offending somebody as I say that, but we have these hectic words saying of that. And Jesus says, "No, my will, my purpose has come to preach the kingdom of God." And that kingdom is that nothing is impossible for God. Niks is onmoontlik vir God nie. Daai kind van jou, hy kan gered word. Paar van ons sê, amen, amen, amen. Of is meer die dominee se kind, nê? Nee, dis mos, ja. Maar as om met sy kind met jou kind speel, dis die probleem. All right. John 3 verse 16 and verse 17, we know this so well, but it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world." Remember this morning, there was encouragement. Some of us feel condemned. Some of us feel far. It says, Jesus was not sent just to condemn the world. He was sent, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. That's the primary reason. So Jesus is the reason we can be saved. 1 John 3 verse 8 says, "Whoever makes the practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning." The reason the Son of God, that's Jesus, appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to destroy those works, to destroy the hold of sin over our lives. That's the reason. And then lastly, Jesus comes in Luke 19 with Zacchaeus that we read, and he says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." He came as a seeker and a savior. He came to seek that which was lost. You think of being lost. Well, what are the words that come to mind when you hear the word lost? Who wants to venture out? Just a few descriptive words. Paul? Nowhere to be found? Lonely? Alone? Confused? Scared? Visionless? So lost has got a bunch of words that describe this. You don't know where you're going. You don't, you're separated from. I've got a few years. Separated. Out of place. Lost. You're not in place. Yes, the worst thing, parents, when you're in the mall and that little one got lost. Yes, and these days with the programs on TV and so forth, they just build so much fear into you that if your child gets lost, it's lots of problems. So we trained our boys that if we lose one another somewhere in the mall, they go and sit at the entry of the last shop they were. So that if I, you know, run up and down the mall, they'll just sit there at the entrance. That's where. And it's happened. So once they got lost, so, you know, I said, okay, let's see what that is. So they're there at the Checkers, and it was the two oldest, the youngest wasn't born yet. So the two of them sit there at the, you know, and like chatting, and we kind of just left them a while to see how long they will sit there. But they kept there. I'm thankful for that. But the one who actually gets lost in the mall is my wife. Then, yes, but we'll leave that one for now. So, but what I want to say with lost is in God is when you are meant to be alive but found dead. Alive in God, when you can respond to God, when He works, we are alive. We're not lost and kind of nowhere to be found and oblivious of Him. We are aware of Him. It's amazing that as even as Jesus was walking on the earth, there were some that were awakened and they found life, and others, it was just a man that walked past. He did some great things, or crowds were there, and they were lost. They were separated, distanced from Him, and they could not respond to Him. Here in Paul, there are people this morning that God has even, maybe you have been chatting to them also, and they are responseless. They are dead. They are lost to that life. They are out of place. When we read through Zacchaeus, it says Zacchaeus, he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. And it kind of summarizes this lost experiences, we are unable to be with Jesus. It's maybe the world, it's maybe our own doing, but we are unable. We don't have the power to be saved on our own. Last week, Cassie spoke about, you know, just having faith, and he said it's not something that you really do. It's a gift of God. It's something that God works in. You respond and you have faith. We can't work it up. That's why the Pharisees got so angry, because they were working so hard to please God. And then Jesus says, but you are dead. They were trying to do all the right things, but somewhere inside there was no deep connection. It is like having one of these instruments here and they are trying to be such a good speaker, but he's not plugged in. There's no power. There's no life flow. And so, it can look beautiful, it can stand there, it can do, but it can't produce what it's made for. It's got to be plugged in. And so, being saved is then the opposite. It's with God. It's in place. place where you have been created to be. It's found. Alive in God and dead to the world. You'll always be dead to something. You and I have the choice to what we are dead. And when I say dead, it's you're not responding to it. You know, the world comes with all its fears or temptations or so. And the question is, how are you responding to it? That will show you how alive you are. If I kick one of you, you're going to respond. And it's a show of life. It's a show of... But a dead person doesn't respond. Now, we're all growing towards that, ne? I mean, things happen to us and we get fearful or we get... But as we walk with Jesus, less and less of that happens. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. I love this picture as I saw it. That sun rising over the shoulder of Jesus. And for us here, it is one of the words that kept on playing over was the rising of the sun, the dawn, a dagbreek, a nieuwe dag vir mense. It's as people coming into a place where they discover Jesus and they find life in Him, and it's like the sun rising over the mountains. It's like the break of day. He's a seeker and savior. And we've got to see Him as the seeker and savior. He came to seek and save you and me. There's a scripture in Colossians 1 verse, I think it's 23. It says that Jesus is He's the image of the invisible God. You want to know God the Father? Look at Jesus. You want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. Jesus was the message on earth. He was the Word made flesh. He was that the letter of God sent to mankind in physical form. He even said Himself, if you want to know the Father, look at me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And this morning what I want to show you is that Jesus reveals a Father who's looking, searching, lifting up. Coming, He's sending people. He is on search for the hearts of mankind. And that is why we do a silly little thing like a park run. It's because it's not about the park run. It's about the person running at the park run. It's about that person. It's about that Zacchaeus that's just too slow. And they, you know, they have a New Year's resolution and they know they're going to be lost. But hey, here comes somebody. And God is seeking to save that person. And you come alongside him or her. It's not about a cap. It's not about a pamphlet that you... But it is some tool that there's a person walking in. Just last night at the braai. With say dop and say chop. They started speaking after the third dop. About God and about... politics and about this and yeah, you know, you saw Trump and he's now bringing, you know, they're getting people to stand for pro-life and bringing a prayer back into the schools. Yeah, and there's always the one that says, yeah, near. Yeah. And then the other one says, yeah, mate, I is a pastor. And that one, and they start speaking about God in some funny, weird ways. But some seed drops. Saturday morning, he's jogging. He's got a bit of bubble ass, but he told his wife he's going to jog with her. Yeah, you come. Hey, we're starting a new church. And hey, here's some water and a pamphlet. Come join us tomorrow morning. And he walks away and he's like, yes, yeah. Last night we spoke up, and it can't let go of his heart. And he goes, vrou, dalk moet ons maar 'n bietjie daar toe gaan môre. Or a child sees, hey, my friend is at the church, or some of your friends. And that's the aim. These are all tools. These are all ways how God is seeking to save the lost. But it can only happen when we have a vision of God who is a seeker and savior. If we think God just sits there and, you know, the Bible says he draws all men to himself and so God will do it on his own. No, he's wanting his family to include others into the family. To say, hey, come. There's a few Zacchaeuses, and I mean, I just wonder, again, how the story would have sounded like when it would have happened in the early church time, and Jesus is walking, and it's before he's ascended, and Zacchaeus is there. And now a bunch of people got born again, and they want everyone to see Jesus. And they see there's a tax collector. He is very lost. He's taken everyone's money, and he's stolen, and he's got a mouth on him. Yeah. But there's this one, two people that know that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And all of a sudden, they see Zacchaeus. He's like, he looks interested. Come, get out of the way, get out of the way. Zacchaeus, come. I want to introduce you. Jesus, this is Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus didn't have to climb a tree. He didn't have to try and see maybe. No, there's a bunch of other people that saw, just like their father, they are seeking to save. They are seeking. They are looking out for those who are looking. And they're saying, come, I want to take your hand. I want to introduce you to Jesus. That's the kind of family that God wants us to be. Being introverts, being extroverts, being this, being that, having a job, not having a job, whatever your state is, male, female, married, parent, God can work through you. Nothing is impossible for him. So Lord, as we sit here, we want to pray that you would come and use us. And we want to be like you, Father. When you said you created us in your image, in your likeness, it's to seek and save. And we know we can't save it, Lord, but we can bring them to you, the Savior. Make us seekers, Lord. After your own heart and after the lost. We want to work with you, Lord. And we pray, God, we're presenting this park run before you. A moment, we ask, Lord, that you would multiply it. We ask, Lord, that you would do something that we can't do. And that is save people, Lord. Connect us. If we're new in the community or old in the community. Lord, I pray for those that might be almost in certain boxes. They've been so long in this community that people don't see them for who they are. Would you just come and break those boxes? And enable each one of us to be part of your seeking and saving team. Be part of your kingdom, part of your plan. We bless you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. Amen. Amen. We're going to have the bank details up there. I do want to say thank you to those of you who've already been given this church plan.